Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we've covered some things in Matthew 24, but Matthew 24 is a very important chapter in the New Testament for prophecy. Now, we saw in the book of Daniel that the vision in Daniel 2 carried from the time of King Nebuchadnezzar to the return of Christ and the setting up of the kingdom of God. Likewise, in Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Daniel 10, Daniel 11, all ending up at the same place. Well, likewise with Matthew 24. From the time of Christ to his return. Now, as we saw last time, there are prophecies right here that took place shortly afterwards. And we saw that there were prophecies that repeated down through time and history leading up to our day today. And virtually, there has not been a single generation from the time of Jesus Christ down to our day. And I have read the writings of those Christians, the Waldensians, of 1100 A.D., and what were they saying? We're living in the last generation.
But history shows that Bible believers have always existed outside the Roman Church and were hated by Rome because of it. What these groups had in common was that they did not submit to the Roman papacy, and they sought to follow God's word as their final authority.
The Waldenses, as a Bible-believing people, actually go back. Although this is disputed by some Bible critics, they nevertheless go back to the 2nd century, and it appears that they had what was in effect an old Latin Bible called the Italic version as far back as the 2nd century, and they were known as the Vaudois, which means the people of the valleys. Rome persecuted the Waldenses again and again through the centuries for over 1,000 years and tried to wipe them out. But because by the grace of God they were located in an area which was easily defended, the mountains of northern Italy, they were able at least to cling on to survival for centuries.
So every generation has gone through many of the things that are here in Matthew 24. That's why it's so important. Now, there's the parallel of it in Mark 13 and in Luke 21. Now, remember what we saw last time. The first thing that the disciples wanted to know was, when are all these things going to happen? What shall the end be? And Jesus said, you look at the temple and all those stones, there won't be one left standing. Question, did that happen? Yes, it did. Question, are there people who believe that Matthew 24 has been completely fulfilled? Yes, there are. I even have a book written by a man going through and showing, yes, when it said, this generation shall not disappear, or this generation shall not pass away until all these things have taken place, that was the generation that Jesus was speaking to there at his time, to his disciples. So question, is that true? Answer, we will see, no, it's not true. But everything did happen, did it not? Temple was destroyed. Yes, it was. Now let's look at part of this. In verse 21, that tells us it has not happened to the end yet. And what do we need to look to so we can understand when the end is even nearer? Now, many people have predicted the return of Christ and the end of the world in many different generations, but it hasn't happened. Why? Well, we'll find out today why. What must take place first? All right, let's ask another question. After the destruction of the temple, did this take place? Verse 21, Matthew 24, "For then there shall be great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again." Answer, no, that did not happen. The world continued. And the prophecies of Daniel 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 were all moving forward. Now here's a promise. "And if those days were not limited," King James says, "cut short." Ministers get up there and say, "Well, you better repent tonight because God's going to cut the days short and you might get cut and left out." No, means limited. The prophecies show us that it's limited, the tribulation, to 3.5 years. Now, there are other prophecies to show it. We won't get into that because we'll get sidetracked too easily here, but we'll cover that at a later time. Now, then he also said, verse 23, "So if anyone says to you, behold, here's the Christ," how many false Christs have we had? Well, there have been a lot of them, especially within the Jewish community. Did you know that the Bar Kokhba revolution was over the fact that Bar Kokhba was told by Rabbi Akiva that this was the Messiah, and when they made their attack back to take over Jerusalem in the 130s AD, they took it over, and they were there, and they were getting ready to rebuild the temple.
Years after the death and resurrection of the Christ, a man named Omar meets a leader, Simon Bar Kokhba, the son of a star, who claims to be more than a man. A celebrated Messiah who will lead his people into battle to protect their families from the Romans, to seek justice for the Romans' persecution and their destruction of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem.
5,000 came to see him. 5,000. They shout, "Messiah."
Well, guess what happened? The Roman soldiers came, slaughtered thousands and thousands of them, and then the few remnant got up to Masada. You've heard of Masada? That's the little village, you might say, or hideout at the top of a great cliff. And they were going to be right there, and they would not surrender. Well, there was a siege against that for a couple of years, and the Roman general with his army was not going to let them get away with it. So they built this great earthen ramp. They used the Jews as slaves to build it, and the soldiers to enforce them working to build it, and to build the ramp up and up and up and up and up to the very edge of Masada. And when the Roman soldiers finally were able to break through, what did they find? Every one of the Jews were dead. They committed suicide. So tribulation was not at that time. So anyone who says that all of these things were fulfilled after the death of Christ don't have it correct. False Christ, false prophets, so forth. Verse 36, but concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So how are we going to know? Only if we are wise, we can come very close, but not to the exact day. Why? Even though with the holy days and things, we can come nearly to that point because of what the holy days picture. Now, if you don't have our book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, you write for it. Because if you're keeping Sunday and Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all of the pagan holidays thinking you're Christian, you're deceived. And if you get mad because I say it, you are really deceived. Do you not have enough intellectual curiosity or spiritual, how shall we say, desire to understand what the truth is, to write in for the book and get it? We send it to you at no cost. Called Holidays or God's Holy Days, which this will give you an outline of God's holy days and what they mean down through time and in prophecy. Amazing thing. I tell you what, there are more things in the Bible that are so amazing and absolutely fantastic and astounding that it is incredible indeed. Why is that? Because it's all been inspired by the mind of God. That's why. Yes, men did write it, but every other book you've read, men wrote, right? And if you've gone to college and all those professors say, don't believe in God, here, read this book. A man wrote it. Now, that wasn't the inspiration of God. Maybe it was the inspiration of Satan the devil, because there is a Satan the devil, and you go on Church at Home here, and we have a whole series on Satan the devil. Look at the layout of everything that we have on Church at Home, and all of those are important for you to understand because we are living in the last days. Now, how sure are the words of Christ? Well, go back up to verse 35. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. They're still here. You're here, right? Here is a key to understand why Matthew 24, though it starts with the generation of Jesus Christ and repeats many of the things of false prophets and rumors of war and earthquakes and pestilence and all of these things, here's why those repeated fulfillments never led up to the return of Jesus Christ. And we're going to examine one of the most important things to take place. But first, let's read the scripture. Verse 34, and I tell you this generation, and what we will show you, this proves that it is the last end time generation, shall in no wise pass away until all these things have taken place. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to circle it. All. What have we not read in Matthew 24 that has still yet to take place and is one of the most important keys necessary to understand how close we are to the end? And this goes back to Daniel 9. And the 70 weeks prophecy. Now, we also have another book that you need called The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. You need this book to understand the prophecies at the end time and the return of Jesus Christ. So what did not happen in that generation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and the destruction of the temple that didn't take place, which has not yet taken place, but has been prophesied to take place. And knowing that all prophecy is true, then let's examine it and let's look at it. Right here in Matthew 24, in verse 14, "And the gospel of this kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations, then shall the end come." That's in the process of being done by getting the Bible, the Word of God, everywhere, and by God using a particular organization called SpaceX. See, God uses men. God uses organizations. He's the one who's given all the high tech. Don't think that men are so clever. They discovered all of these things. No way. God let them have the knowledge of all this high tech. Now, right while I'm speaking, this is being monitored scripturally on a cell phone. Think of that, because that has the Bible on it. Now, how do you suppose that's a good thing and that came from God, in spite of all the evil that's done on the internet and cell phones and things like this? Because God is proclaiming the gospel, and the gospel is the entire Bible, and it's going to go to all nations and to the ends of the earth. That is true, and that's not done. Now back to SpaceX. Their project is to put up enough satellites to have Wi-Fi around the whole world.
I'm not sure you've noticed, but Elon Musk likes to think big. This time around, the SpaceX founder wants to cover the world with internet sent from space. The private space company filed documents with the U.S. Federal Communications Commission on Tuesday, November 15th, asking permission to operate a network of 4,425 satellites to provide high-speed internet coverage around the globe.
Why? Because that will be the witness of some of the things in the book of Revelation that people will know and see. God's not going to do anything without a warning. Then shall the end come. So it's not going to come to that point, okay? And we also read over here that the end time generation is not going to pass away until it's done. So those both connect, right? Yes. Now, let's look at the second one, which is the most important. Well, the first one's most important because the gospel has to get out there. The second one, then, is verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place." All right, where is the holy place? Now, there was a foretype of this abomination of desolation in the 160s B.C. with Antiochus Epiphanes. The Jews became so corrupt again after they came back out of Babylon that once again they had to be punished. And God always uses other people and nations to punish. And when they come, they kill and slaughter. Oh, well, how can a God of love do that? Well, he's more than just a God of love. He's a God who rules and controls the universe. And no one's going to defy God. No one's going to transgress against God and get away with it. So what happened? God sent the armies of Antiochus Epiphanes, and his hatred was so toward the Jews and the temple at that time that when he conquered Jerusalem, he took a big fat hog and slaughtered it on the altar. that is known in Jewish history as the abomination. That was the foretype of it. What is the end type? Now, the truth is, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there was no abomination of desolation in the holy place, because the holy place is in the temple area, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. Now then, we find some other scriptures which help us understand that it is yet to happen. The first place we find it is right in this verse. There's a parenthetical statement put in here by the Apostle John when they were finalizing the canonization of the New Testament. Little sidebar. If you believe the claim of the Roman Catholic Church that they canonized the Bible, you believe a lie. They had absolutely nothing to do with it. All 27 books of the New Testament were finished and finalized before the apostasy took over to claim credit for what the apostles had already previously done. So here it is. The one who reads, let him understand. Now, why was that put there? Right in the middle of the words of Jesus explaining about how the end time is going to come about. The answer is because it never took place in 70 AD. And the answer is, it says over here in verse 34, that all these things must come to pass. So if the temple is destroyed, and there was no abomination that makes desolate in the Holy of Holies, that has got to be for a future time. Otherwise, Jesus is lying, because it didn't happen in 70 AD. But Jesus cannot lie, and he didn't lie. So what is the answer? Now, that's also put in Mark 13, the one who reads, let him understand. All right, let's come to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. We'll get a little clue here, and then we will see the New Testament prophecy concerning the abomination that makes desolate. Revelation 11, verse 1, this is the end time. And the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Now, question. John was given this vision after the temple was destroyed. So how could he rise and measure the temple if it had been destroyed? The only way that could be is a future temple. Now, think on that. Question. Are the Jews working on building a future temple? Answer, yes. If you don't believe it, you go on the Temple Institute and see how much they have progressed in getting all the priest robes and all of the offerings and all of those things getting ready. The cups and the bowls and the gold and all of that ready.
Thank you.
They haven't built it yet. But they will build it at the time God wants it built. Verse 2, but leave out the court that is within the temple area. Do not measure it, because it's given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample upon the holy city for 42 months. Now that's a dual prophecy too we won't get into. So, they will build the temple. Now here's a very interesting thing. The original temple site is not where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is. It is not where the Western Wailing Wall is. Why? Because of the prophecy of Jesus, the first one we read. Remember what was that? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not come down. Now then, you know why John put that parenthetical statement in there, the one who reads, let him understand. And the understanding is this, by revelation. It's going to be rebuilt, so that the prophecy of Matthew 24, the abomination that makes desolate, shall be fulfilled. Now, what will that be? That is the question, because that must happen. Very clear, the temple must be rebuilt and rebuilt in the proper place. Now, if you don't have my letter from December showing where the temple ought to be, because you see where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is, used to be the Roman fortress, Fort Antonio, where they had 5,000 to 10,000 Roman troops who lived right there, right next to where the temple was. And the temple was south of where that area is. So there will come a time when there will be a peace treaty so the Jews can build the temple. So we'll cover that in the next segment. What is the abomination that makes desolate? And how is that going to come about? So once again, this is Fred Kohler saying thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.